Okay, sorry people on the recording, missed the first few minutes. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 14 to 18. So, okay, I already read verse 14. Verse 15, at his day, thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor, and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. The fathers shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor of the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. Okay, so that's a little bit of a weird passage to read to talk about things that apply to you, because it's dealing with hired servants and how you treat them. But when I was reading through this, when I read verse 18, I probably read that verse like four or five times. I kept rereading it because it just stood out to me. Because it says, Moses is telling them, this is how you should treat the hired servants. Once you get into the promised land, and once you have like a household and you have hired servants, whether they be other Jews or they be people that live in the promised land already, when you have these people in your house, this is how you should treat them, right? And so he says that, and then he says, but thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. He's like, you guys were the servants at one time. When you were in Egypt, you were the servants, not hired servants. You were slaves. And remember how that was, and remember how you were treated, and how God redeemed them, verse 18, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence, therefore I command thee to do this thing. And so he's telling them, you were bondmen in Egypt, right? You were slaves in Egypt. Remember what that was like when you have your own servants, right? Remember how you were treated, and treat your hired servants better than that. Think about how you would have wanted to have been treated, and think about how God delivered you from that, and use that as a way to live your life and as a way to deal with these people when you have them in your homes. And so, anybody know what the golden rule is? You guys ever heard of the golden rule? Tristan knows what it is. Micah knows what it is. Anybody else know what the golden rule is? You know what it is? All right, what's the golden rule? Whoever has the gold makes the rules, yes. What's that from? Is it from Aladdin? Okay. I should have guessed. That should have been my first guess. If my wife quotes something, it's probably Aladdin, Princess Bride, maybe The Little Mermaid, Napoleon Dynamite, yeah.
Exactly.
All right, what's the golden rule? Somebody say it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, treat others how you would want to be treated. Go to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to turn into a lot of verses tonight, so after this one, we'll do races.
A what now?
Yeah, sword drills. You guys know what sword drills are? Most of you guys. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Somebody read it.
Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law.
Okay, golden rule comes from the Bible. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's what Jesus is saying right there, essentially, in his King James way of saying it. So the more that I thought about this verse, what's up, Brendan? The more that I thought about this verse in Deuteronomy, the more things began to occur to me, just how, like, it goes deeper than just what that verse says. It says that you once were bondmen, so, like, this is how you should treat your servants, because you once were servants. But it goes beyond that, right? God freed them from bondage. And so, how does that apply to us? Okay, so, obviously God freed us from the bonds of sin, right? If you're saved, we're no longer bound to sin. We are still going to sin because we have flesh, but we don't, have to serve our sin, right? We're not bound to that. We're not destined, for hell and for death. We're destined for life because we have Jesus Christ. And so, there's a lot of similarities between the Israelites and us, but there's a lot of things that come from this one verse, that apply to us. So, just thinking about how you would handle situations, based on where we came from. So, for example, God showed us love, So because he loved us, what should we then do? We should love others, right? Treat others how you want to be treated. This verse in Deuteronomy reminding them of where they came from and how they should handle life going forward based on where they've been. All right, so we're going to close your Bibles. All right, we're going to sword drill. Raised. Yeah, you got to hold it up. You got to hold it by the spine. You got to hold it. Yeah, above your... Yeah, don't lose all your papers. Yeah, first one to the verse, stand up when you get there. Huh? Oh, you can raise your hand, that's fine. Standing up makes it easier for me to see you, but... Alright, ready? Holly, where's your Bible?
What?
Where's your Bible?
Sorry, I got to start with
maybe.
I don't know. Oh, I do know,
it's in
my books.
Well, grab a Bible.
Holly.
Close your Bible, Jackson. Hold your Bible. At least at your shoulder. Alright, John 3:16. I know you guys know what it says. I know you know what it says. You gotta find it. I'll come look at your page. You got find it already? Oh, cheater on the tabs. Okay, Audrey had it first. Audrey, read it. All right, close it back up again.
Don't use the tab.
It's kind of hard not to. All right, John 13:34 and 35. I know you were just there. That's why I made you close it. Dang, Brenda already. All right, go.
I was like this. 34 and 35.
Yeah.
Little
children, yet a little while, I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. Now I say to you, a new command that I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. All right, one more, and then we'll kind
of summarize
what we're talking about, and then we'll
move on to the
next point. All right, Romans 5:8. What?
Are you open to it?
Dang, Tristan, yeah. All right, go for it. Read it.
But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ
died. Okay, so all these verses talking about God's love for us, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us because God loved us. And then yours, I'm going to summarize it, but talking about God's love for us, right? And because he loves us, we should love others is what your verse was talking about. So God's love is throughout the whole Bible. I mean, it's over and over and over again in the Bible. These are just three verses that I picked to kind of illustrate it. But because God loved us, he shows us how to love others, right? Whether they be lost or saved people, right? Once we are saved, God has set the precedent for us, or set the example for us on how we should love other people, right? People by nature are not lovable, okay? We're just not. Now there's certain people that you do love and you're friends with them, or they're in your family, or you're just close with them for whatever reason, and so you love those people. But there's other people that you don't love, they're annoying, or you get frustrated by them, or it's your sibling and you feel like you don't love them, or whatever, right? People are difficult to deal with. Okay, if you get involved in ministry, ministry is working alongside other people, serving other people, trying to reach out to other people that are lost, right? And so loving other people is difficult, but God set the precedent for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He's demonstrated for us loving people who are unlovable is difficult. That is a godly characteristic. But if we want to be Christians, if we want to be Christ-like, we should exhibit some traits that God exhibits, that Christ exhibits. Like loving people who are unlovable, right? Jesus Christ loved the people who were hanging him on the cross. Like while they were doing that, he still loved them, right? He still went through the process of being crucified because he loved us, them who were doing it, and us who would come after, and all those that came before. He sets the example for us on this is how you love people, right? Sacrificially. This is how you love people. You love them even when they're unlovable. You take all the stuff that they do and you love them anyways, in spite of themselves. And so, alright, close your Bibles. All right, the next one is God shows us forgiveness And so we should show forgiveness to others, right? That's a difficult thing to do as well. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Luke 23:34. If you didn't get it the first time, you're way behind. Brendan, go. Oh, one page over. All right, go. What? Luke 23:34. He's on the right page. He just read the wrong verse.
He said, "Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they poured his raiment and counsel.
Okay, this is while he's actually in the process of being persecuted, or not being persecuted, being crucified, and he's asking God to forgive them in the moment that they're doing the thing. They're killing him, and in that moment, he's seeking God for forgiveness. All right, close your Bibles. 1 John 1:9. You guys should all know this verse. I shamed you for not knowing it on Sunday, or last Wednesday. All right, Audrey's got it. No. 1 John 1:9. Juju. All right, one more. Close your Bibles. 2 Corinthians 2:5. It's gonna be 5 through 11. So whoever gets it has a decent chunk. All right, Tristan got it first. 5 through 11, Tristan, read it loud. 2 Corinthians chapter 2.
But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of me, so that contrary-wise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such as a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye will confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye give forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sake forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
Okay, so Paul is here, and just here, I guess, for Paul on this one. But this one, and then the one in 1 John 1:9, and the one in Luke 23, is dealing with either God or Jesus forgiving us, or in this case, Paul's talking about forgiveness, and God forgave us of our sins, right? Past tense and going forward, like 1 John 1:9 says, that if we will confess our sins, then he will forgive us of our sins, right? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, God teaches us in the way that he deals with us, forgiving us, even though he knows we're going to mess up again. We might do the exact same thing that we're asking for forgiveness about. We might do that exact same thing again and have to come back to him and ask for forgiveness again. But God doesn't limit the number of chances that we get in that way, right? He doesn't limit his forgiveness to, okay, I'll forgive you of this one time. If you do it again, though, I'm not going to forgive you. Right? That might be some stipulations that we put on our forgiveness that we offer to other people. Yeah, you hurt me in this way, and I will forgive you this time, but don't do it again, or next time I won't. Right? Those are sometimes ways that stipulations that we put on our forgiveness. God doesn't put those kinds of stipulations on us, right? God is willing to forgive us just because, right? Because he loves us. And so these things kind of tie together, but in the way that he forgives us, he shows us how we ought to forgive others and be seeking like that forgiveness. All right, next one. Close your Bible. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. So this section is, he shows us grace, so we should have grace for others. All right, Elena. 6:23, yeah. All right, I don't know if you guys have heard this definition of grace and mercy before or not, but mercy is not getting what you deserve, and then grace is getting what you don't, like getting beyond just not getting the punishment that you deserve. It's getting something that you don't deserve. And so, in this verse, Romans 6:23, God's telling us, because of our sin, we deserve death, right? The fact that we don't get death, that's mercy. But in addition to not getting the death, we also get eternal life. Okay, close your Bibles. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. A lot of these are like memory verses. You guys should probably know. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Okay. Huh? All right, go Tristan. I don't know if you or Elena was first. I don't know which one was first. I was looking at Brenda.
Chapter 2, verse
8 and 9. Yes, that's what I was doing. All right, go ahead, Tristan.
For by the grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Okay, so God's grace, right? God gives us grace when we don't deserve it. All right, there's one more for grace. Close your Bibles. Romans 5, 12 through 15. All right, Elena, I saw your hand first that time. Yeah. 5, 12 through 15. Sorry. Micah wants to read it? All right. Go for it, Micah.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all
the sin. All the way through 15. Sorry. Keep going. Similitude.
Adam's transgression. It was the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded into men.
Okay, so he's saying that the result of one man's sin caused sin to pass upon all men, right? That's what verse 12 says. Because Adam sinned, every one of his descendants was born into a sin nature, right? And then he goes on, he talks a little bit more about, that all happened before the law was even in existence. But then he goes on in verse 15, and he says, so one man's offense was enough to condemn every other man that came after him. But one man's sacrifice, one man's grace, was sufficient for every man who would come after him, right? And so, the grace of God had grace on us, in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us, in that he offers forgiveness to us of sins, in that we deserve death, but he says, you deserve death, but what I'm going to give you is not going to give you death, I'm going to give you life, eternal life. And so, we should have grace for others, right? We can't offer eternal life to others except through sharing the gospel with them. But in and of ourselves, we can't offer that. We can't offer the kind of grace that God does, but we can be gracious with people, right? We can give them something that they don't deserve. If someone wrongs us, we can forgive them, like I just talked about, right? Which is not what they deserve, but we can go above and beyond that. We can have grace towards them, right? We can reconcile our relationship with that person, even if they don't deserve it, right? Because God demonstrated that for us. All right, close your Bibles. Romans chapter 9, verse 15. I'm going to start handicapping a few of you guys. Oh, Isabel, with the win. Never mind. You just decided you don't want to read it? Okay. Okay, go for it.
Wait, what was it again?
Oh, Romans 9, 15 and 16.
For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor to him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy.
Okay. Ephesians 2, 1 through 4. Huh? I didn't tell you guys to close them. Tristan again. Tristan and Elena. Okay, Tristan and Elena. I looked up and I saw both of you guys with your hands up. Tristan's first in my line of sight, so I see him first.
Do we need to have... Do you mean we just, like...
Yes. Yeah. And...
There's no prizes, except for, I guess, the pride is on the line. All right, Elena, go ahead and read it.
What?
Ephesians 2, 1 through 4. Tristan can have it. All right, Tristan, I guess you're going to read it again.
And you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in the time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, that we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy,
okay, again, dealing with God's mercy. God is merciful to us, and in that, when we don't deserve it, He still offers forgiveness. He is merciful to us, right? And so we should have mercy on other people. We shouldn't have to hold things against people. How often does God hold your past against you? Right? If it's something that you're still dealing with and you haven't taken care of it, obviously that's still going to hinder your relationship with God. But if you've, like, asked for forgiveness and you've repented of it and you've fixed the situation, God's not going to, like, keep bringing that back up, right? He's not going to keep reminding you, hey, remember whenever you used to wrong me that one time or those 50 times, right? Remember how you used to not be doing the things that you were supposed to do? I remember God doesn't bring that kind of stuff up. He doesn't, like, dwell on those things in the past. If we've repented of something and we've moved on, God's merciful. He doesn't bring those things back up in our mind over and over again. Okay, close your Bibles. I want to see like Jackson and Jackson over here, or somebody on this couch over here. Well, you don't have to read it just because you're the first one there. Are you okay? Yeah. You okay, Hallie? Okay, 1 Peter 3:8. Jackson, okay. Challenge him a little bit and he accepts the challenge. Go for it, read it. 1 Peter 3:8.
Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as part of the brethren, and keep it whole.
Okay, so this one, I didn't tell you what it was before we started flipping there, but God shows compassion, right? All throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, He's showing compassion on people, right? He's finding someone who's sick, or dead, or blind, or lame, or whatever. He finds people that have leprosy, right? He finds these people, and He has compassion on them. He doesn't look at them and say, something is wrong with this person, right? He looks at them and says, I can heal you, right? Jesus goes through and He heals them, and then He uses that as a teaching example throughout His ministry, right? Throughout the whole Bible, we see God having compassion. And so when we get to the New Testament specifically, and we get to 1 Peter, it's talking about we should have compassion one to another, right? That's how we should be in the church. All right, close your Bibles. I have one more verse. Last one, somebody on this couch, try to get there first. 1 John 3:17. Oh, Tristan and Audrey both. Lucas is the first one on the couch there. All right, Lucas, read 1 John 3:17. He's saying, if you have something, and you're able financially or physically or whatever, and you see a brother who's in need, and you don't offered, like, if you don't have compassion on them, then it says, what does it say? It says, how dwelleth the love of God in him, right? If you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, and you can look at somebody else who's a brother in Christ, he's awake, who's a brother in Christ who is in need, and you have it in your hand to help them with what they need, then you should do that, right? We should have compassion on one another. And so there's like, I mean, we could spend all night going through attributes of God and how he exhibited them to us, and so that we can then exhibit those things to other people, right? God gave us love, so we should pass that on. We should treat others that way, right? God had mercy. God had grace. God had compassion. So when I read that verse in Deuteronomy, you guys on the back row are falling apart. You what? I guess, yeah. Yeah. I don't think it was allergies. Anyways, okay, so just to wrap up, Deuteronomy 34:18. Let me read it one more time for those of you guys who weren't here or have you forgotten what we were talking about. Not 34:18, 24:18. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. A lot of the time in the Bible, not probably all the time, but let me just say, to cover myself, a lot of the time in the Bible, when you read something like this, and God saying, hey, remember how once you were this way, this is how I want you to move forward. Remember that, and move forward in this way. Live your life in such a way. That's like letting us know, hey, remember how you were once difficult to deal with, and God, you know, loved you anyways. I think I've told you guys this in here several different times. I think it used to happen more often than it does now, but when I would be disciplining my children for something, when they would do something and I have to go to them and say, listen, how many times have I told you don't do this thing, right? Or how many times have I told you you're supposed to do your jobs before you get on a screen? Or how many times have I told you blah, 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 right? And I'd be walking away from that interaction with them, and I would be reminded, like, immediately, or sometimes even while I was talking to them, I would be reminded of what I must look like from God's perspective. How often does God look at me and say, Luke, how many times have I told you, da 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 da, right? How many times have I told you, da 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 da, right? Like, as the words come out of my mouth sometimes, I'm hearing God saying those same things to me, right? And so the way that we interact with other people should be based somewhat on how God has dealt with us, right? There are, I deal with people that are frustrating to deal with. I know you guys do too. I deal with people who drive me crazy. I deal with people who don't listen to anything I say. I deal with people who, you know, ask me for my advice and then I give it to them and then they don't take it. Like, I deal with all of the same kinds of things that you guys deal with. But it helps me sometimes to put in perspective. I go to God and I ask God, hey God, fix this problem that I got myself into. And then God might offer a solution, and then I don't take his advice on that, right? I don't proceed the way that I know I should proceed. It happens a lot where I look at other people sometimes the way that I want God to be looking at me. Like, I don't want to look at someone and say, this person drives me crazy, I don't really want to deal with them right now, right? Sometimes I still do that, but I try not to look at people that way, right? Because I'm sure it's annoying. I mean, God doesn't get annoyed, I don't think, but God would get annoyed with people like me, right? When I'm going to God all the time asking for something or asking for forgiveness or asking him to fix my problems, right? I don't want to be like, I don't want God to look at me and be like, this guy is so annoying, I don't want to talk to him, I don't want to deal with him. Right? God doesn't look at me that way. And so as much as we can, we should look at other people that way. Don't look at people as, this person's a problem, I don't want to deal with them. That's not how God deals with us. And so as I read that verse, I've been thinking about that verse for the last couple of days since I read it. And hopefully that was somewhat helpful for you guys. But just try to be more Christ-like in the way that we deal with other people.
Do better.
Yeah. Do better. Be better. All right. Let's pray. And then we're going to go outside and do something.
Oh, I didn't even miss all the fun.
You didn't miss the games. Yeah.
And you guys just get wiser and wiser.
Try. All right. Good job. All right. Dear Lord God, thank you for this evening, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for, God, dealing with us, not in the way that we deserve to be dealt with, but